begin our service. Father, we thank you, Lord, for that we are able to come this morning and worship, and be with you, Father. We just thank you for all that you're doing here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Lord, the incredible things that you're doing. And we step out more and more every day, Lord, into your perfect will, because that's what we desire all of 2013, to be in your will. Lord, again, we pray for those that have been so ill in our body, for Steve Edwards and Danny and Sherwin, and look for Roy and Clay and Eric, all the people that we've been lifting up over and over again, asking you to touch their bodies, bring healing to them. And Lord, for being with us this morning, I pray somehow, some way, that you just completely use me. And that, Lord, I say nothing except what would be your perfect will to your sheep. I know you love them, Lord, and I love them as well. Help me, Lord. Help me to speak your truth this morning and teach your truth passionately and accurately and full of the love of God. Now, Lord, bless us. Bless those who have given to the children at Casa Hogar. And Lord, bless this day in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn this morning in our Bibles together to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Now, if you're visiting with us this morning, again, this is the New Year's sermon. And I normally bring it about the middle of January every year. And so normally I'm teaching through the Bible. When I resume after, I'll be probably in 2 John. So right now, let's turn again, Matthew chapter 5, as I turn there with you. And let me read our text to you this morning. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. Jesus, there on the Sermon on the Mount, he says in verse 13 of chapter 5 of Matthew, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill, cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And the church says, amen. Amen. God is so good. This morning, I want to talk to you. This is our introduction to our New Year's sermon, to where, you know, it's kind of like Vision Sunday. Where are we going this year? What's the word, Bill? What has God given us? This morning, I want to talk to you from, Decision 2013. That we need to make a decision in all of our lives. You know, I remember, well, not vividly, but I remember 1954. Anybody remember 1954? There you go. You know, President Eisenhower was our president, of course, and we'll never forget this. Elvis Presley was cutting his first album there in Memphis, you know, with Sun Records. It's All Right, Mama. You know, that's, we don't want to forget that. Bill Haley in the comments, you know, they just released that great single, Rock Around the Clock, or whatever it was called. I forget now. I'm still trying to get that out of my mind. But, you know, so all these things going. The cost of a first-class stamp, believe it or not, was only 3 cents. Oh, those were the days, right? And you know what? The average salary was about $4,700 per year. And the wonderful news was that in 1954, I was 4 years old. And I remember that day as I was in my grandmother's house, in the huge, huge chair that just simply swallowed me up by the front door that leads to the porch on the farm. And I was so discouraged. And I was sitting there probably sulking like any little four-year-old boy does. And I didn't realize that my life was about to change forever. And that my greatest foe was about to be conquered. I had no idea the impact it would make on my life when my sister, my older sister, knelt down beside me in that huge chair and she taught me to tie my shoelaces. I had overcome the world. I would untie them so I could simply tie them back. I would untie them in front of my grandparents and show them what I could do. I had discovered the potential that I had because someone came alongside of me and showed me and taught me. Amen. Now, church, listen to me today. Please open your hearts to me. Don't shut me down and don't close me off. If what I say may seem a little difficult and a little hard, I do not mean any ill will. But you know what? We have the Holy Spirit who has come now alongside us. Amen? Oh, listen, He wants us to do more than to know how to tie our shoes. Amen? And not only has He come alongside us, He's beside us here, He's beside you, He lives in our hearts, and He has also endued us with power. The word for 2013 is potential. Say that with me. Potential. You know what the definition of potential is? Let me read it to you. Several definitions. Potential, the possibility of becoming what you are. Potential, existing, ready for action, but not yet active. Potential, unrealized ability and not yet manifested. I tell you, how much potential do we as believers have in Christ Jesus? Would you say it might be unlimited? Hello, the creator of the world, the one who sustains the world, the one who saved us, lives inside of us, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Do you think that His potential is unlimited? Yes. Or let me ask you another question. Are we world overcomers? Have we overcome the world? Who is he who overcome the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ? Those people are born of God. Those people are born of God. And I started looking and praying, and back in November, the Lord just spoke that one word, potential. And I believe it was for you. I believe it was for me. And I'll tell you why it was for me. Because at my age right now, I don't want to waste another day. Amen? We're famous, all of us, for wasting time, for wasting days, for wasting months, for wasting years. I don't want to waste anything. I want to live in the fullness of the potential that I have in Christ Jesus. Do you? Amen. Then may I ask you a series of questions? This is only our introduction this Sunday. A series of questions. Will you let God take you this year? Well, that's a good word. Two of you want to go. How far will you let God take you in your calling, in your gifting? Let's do something else. How about your marriage? How far will you really let God take you in your marriage to have marriage God's way? Then why are there so many marriages in trouble in the body of Christ? I said, Lord, you know, how much potential do we have in you? It's like the Lord answers this question in Scripture. He says, Bill, you have this treasure in earthen vessels. You have Jesus in your heart. You have the Holy Spirit upon you. You have God the Father behind you. The Bible says that God is your rear guard. If God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. God says, I will help you, saith the Lord. I will help you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. And He loves you. That's scary. And I said, Lord, listen. How much potential do we have in God? And you know something else? How far will we let God take us? Do you remember a few weeks ago, I asked you these questions and I said, I'm going to ask you again during the New Year's message. I'm going to ask you these questions. And here's what I said. I said, how far does Calvary Chapel Fort Worth really want to go? How far are we willing to go in Christ in 2013? And then I said this, the purpose of the questions that I'm about to ask you, I said, they're not to produce guilt, and they're certainly not to manipulate. But just think about these questions for a moment, would you? Number one, talking about this church specifically, the work that God has done here. Do we want to be a popular church, or do we want to be an effective church? Thank you. Number two, how much of the cross are we really willing to carry? Are we? Or we just want to carry a piece of the cross. That's it, Lord. That's all. That's too much for me. Another question. Do we really, honestly, listen, this is Honest Sunday. This is Vision Sunday. This is the New Year's sermon. Listen to me now. Do we really, as a body of Christ here, do we really want to make an impact on this world, on this city? Or are we going to let this city and this world and the things of this life and the things of this world make an impact on us? Do you really want to follow Jesus? Well, then how far down the road are you willing to follow him? Are you really? That's so easy to say that, isn't it? Easy to say that. Words are easy. It's so easy to give lip service to God, isn't it? Can we be real today? Okay. We're going to be honest, right? It's easy to give lip service to God, isn't it? We can honor God with our lips, but oh, Jesus said sometimes our heart is so far from him. So I'm looking at this and I'm saying, Lord, do we really? You know, we've been here for 20 years waiting to build our new sanctuary. So much in the mix. So much that God has done. I look at the impact that the radio makes, our program on the radio. The impact that LNFI, our charity, has made. It's just amazing the things that God has done in Mexico and so forth. And I think and I said, Lord, do we really want to be all that we're capable of being in you? Or does this church, now I'm talking about all of us, we're the family of God. Or do we really just want to, rest on our laurels? It's easy to do that, isn't it? Well, Bill, you know, my gosh, everything's paid for, you know, and like I said, Wednesday night, everything's paid for, you know, you're 45 years old now, and, you know, take a break, learn to play golf, you know, Scotty's going to teach me golf, he said, you know, and he even gave me a little putter for my office, that little, it's called something, but you have to have the putter. I've got the green in the hole, but I don't have the thing. It's in the box in my office, you want me to go get it? I don't want to learn to play golf. Golf is good, but I don't want to. I want to find my total complete in my life, my potential that I have in Christ. And the only way to do that is to follow him. I'm going to tell you something. Do you think that there's potential in darkness? Well, you need to pray. No, is there potential in darkness? Yes, look at it out there. Let me ask you a question. Is darkness always constantly trying to reach its potential? Yes, and let me say something. When the church of Jesus Christ is gone, it will accelerate in darkness and truly reach its potential then. So I started thinking about that. What are we going to do this year? If we're going to really reach our potential, now listen very carefully, then we're going to have to do something collectively. All of us together. And we have to be honest. We have to be honest about it. We have to renounce the sin of not progressing. In other words, just resting where we are. Hold your place and let's look at one scripture in Hebrews chapter 5. Hold your place in Matthew. I'm going to get there. But let's look at something. Watch this now. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Let's look what the writer of Hebrews tells us. He's writing in verse 11. He says, of whom we have much, say that word with me, much to say. He says, I've got so much I want to tell you about. In other words, in context, he's saying, I have so much that I want to tell you about Jesus Christ, our great high priest. That's in context what that would be concerning. He says, oh, there's so much I want to say. Oh, and it's hard to explain. But look why it's hard to explain. Not because of their lack of intelligence. No. He says it's hard to explain since you have what? You have become something, meaning that they used to not be. They're resting on their laurels. In other words, they become what they weren't. And he says, you have become what? Dull of hearing. You know what that word dull of hearing means? It means lazy ears. You know what I mean? It means somebody can tell you something, but you don't hear it. You hear it, but you don't hear it. In other words, guys, it's kind of like this. Your wife is talking to you, you know, for about 2 or 3 minutes. You're looking right at her, you know, with that stare. And then after she finishes, she says, well, what do you think? She said, what did you say? You understand? That's what Paul is saying here, who I think the writer of Hebrews is. And he goes, listen, you've become dull. Your ears are lazy. You're no longer hearing. Welcome to the 21st century church. Don't get mad at me for telling you the truth. Now look what he says. For though by this time, say those three words, by this time. By this time what, Paul? Oh, listen, he says, by this time you ought to be teachers. But now look what he says, but you need someone to teach you again. You got to go back and do all the ABCs all over again. The first principle, the oracles of God. And have what? Come to need what? Milk and not solid food. Listen to me now. Listen, by this time, those are three of the saddest words found in the Bible. By this time, you ought to have been over here. By this time, you should have been, by this time, but it's not happening. I look at that and I say, oh, that's the most common malady in the church today. You know, and they'd walked with the Lord, but they had regressed. See, anytime you're not moving forward, you've come to a standstill. If you're not progressing in Christ, you then are regressing in Christ. In other words, the potential is there. Amen? All the potential to move forward. The potential is right there. And he says, Paul says, listen, you know what? Your guys are killing me. He says, because you need milk again. You know what milk means, right? I mean, we all need milk. Milk is vital. But what he's saying is you need to be put back on the bottle. Think about that. Can you imagine me, 45 years old, sitting here with a bottle? You know, checking the little, Mama, it's not warm enough. Warm it up for me. And, you know, oh, I don't want it. No. And, okay, I'll take it. And I'm a baby. You used to be an adult. Now you're a baby. That's what Paul is saying. He says, oh, my gosh. You know, whenever that means you're not feeding yourself, you have to be fed all over again. Now, listen. When it comes to milk, we all need milk. It's vital for growth, okay? But see, in context, when he's talking there about the great high priest, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the milk of the word is what Jesus has done in his earthly ministry. The meat of the word is what Jesus is doing in his heavenly ministry. Are you following me? I want some solid food, don't you? In other words, and the only way to get that is to progress. And you have to start taking bites of steak. That's what God says. I want you to eat a T-bone, man. Get off this milk. You know, it's just sissy food. I mean, it'll get you there. Don't get me wrong. And then look at chapter 6, verse 1. He says, therefore, leaving, in other words, forsaking, putting it away, the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. In other words, the milk of the word, the ABCs. Look what he says. Let us go on to what? That word means maturity. It means full growth. It means this. It means go on to the full potential that we have in Christ Jesus. That's what I want. That's really what you want, isn't it? Don't you want to hear God's voice more clearly? Don't you really? I know you do. I know you want to be led by the Spirit of God. I know you want to walk in the Spirit. I know you want to lay hands on the sick. I know you want to see God use you. I know you do. But you know what? We have to renounce the sin of not progressing and say, you know what? My prayer time is dead. My prayer time is mechanical. My Bible study time stinks. You know what? I just live off the TV and other preachers' messages or whatever, or I live off the Sunday sermon and then I go without it until next week. And then when I get here, I got to have a word or what? No, listen, we need the word of God, the manna from heaven every morning, every evening. Amen. We need that. And to move into this potential that God has given us. Now listen, we are the body of Christ. Amen? Okay, if we're the body of Christ, that means something. That means that Jesus Christ is the head of the body, which is the head of the church. Amen? All right, now let me ask you a question. How much potential does the body of Christ have on earth? Unlimited. Now, I'm going to ask you another question. Why doesn't that excite us? What has put us to sleep? What has stopped us from progressing? Why are we willing to say, I love the Lord, and I know that we do, but we're willing to be at a standstill in our life and just get through the territory day by day? I don't want to live like that. I want to every day to be an adventure with Jesus. Amen. In other words, discovering my true potential and you discovering your true potential. Now turn back to chapter 5 of Matthew and let's look at something just for a moment. One more question. As we go through these, or statement, as we go through these verses, I want you to think about how important you are and the potential that you already possess, in your hearts. You already have this. Now watch this, what Jesus tells us. He's there on the Sermon of the Mount. The Bible says in verse 1, remember he sat down and he opened his mouth and he taught the disciples. He taught all the people that were present. And look what he said. He said, you are the salt of the earth. Think about that for a minute. In Jesus' time, salt was so valuable. In other words, they paid Roman soldiers with it. That's where we get that expression, you know, be a man worth his salt. The taxes were even levied against. You could pay off taxes with salt. It was a very, very valuable commodity. Now I'm going to ask you a question. You are Jesus, the Son of God, God who cannot lie. He just said something to each one of you that believe in him. He says, you, right now, you are something. You are the salt of the earth. That means that you are so valuable on this planet. Listen, what does salt do? Preserves. It prevents decay. Salt changes things. Matter of fact, salt has an effect on everything it touches. Amen? If you don't believe me, you know, go home and you know what? Maybe you have a pot roast cooking in that pressure cooker or whatever that thing is. You know what I mean? And you're cooking and when you get home, say, oh, that needs some salt. And you put salt in and then you go, oh my, I put too much salt in. Are you going to get the salt out? No. Hey, listen, if I had a glass of water up here, and I wish I did, you know, like ice water or something, you know, I'm just joking, you know, and I took a tablespoon of salt and put in that beautiful Ozarka water, would it change it? Would it change it instantly? That's what salt does. Now listen to me. You are salt. Do you see your potential? Do you really? Do you go home and go, I'm salt? And your wife goes, I'm pepper. No. Listen. No, you're salt, man. You know what I'm saying? Jesus just said that. Now listen to me. He's speaking. Who do you think's out there? There's not any kings and queens and princes out there on the Sermon on the Mount. There's fishermen and tax collectors and shepherds. Do you understand? Simple people. And he looked at them and he said, you are the salt of the earth. Now listen, until the rapture of the church, until Jesus takes us out of this world, listen to me very carefully. You preserve this decaying, rotting world system from reaching its full potential in darkness and decay. See, the world that we live in is full of dead people. Did you know that? Not not dead physically, but spiritually dead. And what does salt do? Salt, you salt dead things, okay? You salt dead things. You don't salt things that are alive, dead things, to preserve them from decay. Listen, you are the ones that are preventing the decay. Listen, Fort Worth would be rotting like a dead corpse if it was not for you. Were not for you. Was or was, I don't care. We know those words. Are you listening to me? I'm going to ask you a question. Do you really believe that? That you are the holding force? And I start looking at this and I say, oh God, look at that potential. Look at the potential that the church of Jesus Christ that we have. And look what it says again in verse 13. He says, you, that's emphatic. You, it means you and only you. There's no one else. Only you are the salt of the earth. Meaning you're the only answer for the generation that we have. That's your potential. Matter of fact, that's your potential not only here, but anywhere you are in the world because you're the salt of the earth. Listen, we have the full potential of not only making an effect on people, but we can also infect people with Jesus. Amen. We can change their lives through Jesus Christ. That's the potential that you have. I'm going to say something, and I don't know how you're going to take this, but here's the truth. And I know this means the whole body of Christ, but I'm just talking to this body of Christ right now, not the entire corporate body, just the local body, the expression of Christ here. You are the only hope for this city. The only hope. You're the world's only hope. Do you ever think about that? Listen, when are we, and I say this tenderly and lovingly, but when are we going to take our eyes off of ourselves? When are we going to quit looking at our potential and look at God's potential in us? Amen? You know, listen, what did Paul say in Galatians 2:20? He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Okay, that means I died. That means you died. I have been crucified with Christ, and the life that I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, he says, for me to live is Christ. That's what we need to say. We need to say, you want to see potential to one another? Here, for me to live is salt. I'm the salt of the earth. And now, Jesus said that's who I am, and he can't lie. Are you seeing who you really are? I'm the salt of this earth. And I think, oh God, what happens when a church comes together, one mind, like it commands us, one heart, one spirit, one God, one Savior, one body. We all come together, Philippians 1:27, and it says striving together. Striving, I mean with all of our heart, striving together, working together for the gospel, for the good news. Criticism, get away. Gossiping, get away. Lying, get away from me, you devil. Get back from me. People who tear the body of Christ apart, who are you to speak against God's people? Backbiting, sowers of discord, they're not from God. God never sows discord. Are you listening to me? Listen, if we just walked in oneness, could you imagine what would happen? Can you imagine the effect that we would have? Listen, there's so many things that God wants to use you for and this church for. Don't, 2013, just make a decision. God is just waiting on us. He is waiting on this church to just rise up and claim to be who they are. However, look at it. But if the salt, that's you, that's me, if the salt, Jesus said, loses its flavor, loses its potential, in other words, becomes saltless, how, look at this question, oh, what a question, how shall it be seasoned? Now listen to me, if the only salt in the earth, on the earth, loses its potential to preserve and to infect others and change and stop this rotting world from getting worse than it is, at least having a little prevention on it. If we lose our salt, listen to me, there is no one to replace it. Are you listening? See, you're not replaceable. Oh, there's another generation, absolutely, if Jesus tarries. I know that. But I'm talking, that's the Lord calling right now. When he's mad, it's the hallelujah chorus. But that was the good one. Oh no, listen, there's no one, the health of the world, can you believe that? Look at the potential. The health of this world really depends upon the body of Christ. I don't know, think we're doing a very good job of it anymore, are we? Let's be honest about it. No, I don't think so at all. Now listen, Jesus said you are salt. Now here's the question. Will we waste who we are, or will we move into our potential? He said there, look, he says, how shall it be seasoned? In other words, how can you get salt back if it's lost its potential? How are you going to get it back? Look what Jesus says. He says, it's good for what? Oh, that's a bad word. It's a good for nothing but to be what? Number one, thrown out. Number two, trampled underfoot by men. In other words, it's lost its purpose for existence. Jesus said, you know what? That kind of salt, that's who you are. You're the salt of this earth. But if you lose the savor, if you lose the seasoning, if it's not there, man, he says it's good for nothing. It's good for a shoe leather. Somebody can just walk on it. Listen, I don't want anyone in the world to trample over me. I'm salt. Amen? I don't want anyone in the world to trample over you. You're salt. Have we lost our flavor? Have we lost our seasoning? Listen, this salt here, Jesus said, it failed to do the only thing it was created for. It failed to live up to its potential. Jesus said in the first part of 13, he said this. He said, you are the salt of the earth. That word you is plural. It means every one of us, all of us. You know, every believer is a grain, if you will, of salt. There's a grain of salt. There's a grain of salt. Well, listen to me. You know, if you get 3 grains of salt on that egg, is it going to help you? Okay, you don't eat eggs. Okay, what about y'all? Do you understand? No. You know, you hear the doctors. What do the doctors say? You know, if you have high blood pressure, and he goes, get away from the salt. Don't put any salt on there. And I say, well, I am the salt, man. You know, I can't help it. They don't like me when I go to the doctor's office. No, I say, okay, Lord, you mean plural. You is plural. That's right, Bill. Remember what Jesus said over in John 12, 35 or 33, where it is, follow. Jesus said, listen, you're all sons of light. Daughters of light. We're sons of light. We're transmitters of Jesus. Amen? No, listen to me. When there's only one Jesus the world is going to see. You. Do you understand that? You are an ambassador of Christ. We are to represent Jesus on this planet. Jesus said, you are now transmitters of my light. You are my light on this planet. Are you? Are you really? Are we religious? Oh, listen. Do you know who you are? Do you see your potential? 2013, decision time. Potential. The possibility of becoming what you are in Christ Jesus. Well, Bill, Jesus is going to work it all out. You know, he who began a good work, he'll complete it. Yeah, but he might have to kill you to do it. That's right. Why not just let him do it? Why not just say, you don't have to anymore work on me and correct me and chastise me and beat me. No, I'm going to be a good sheep because you bought me. You paid for me. You purchased me. You translated me out of darkness into the kingdom of your Son. I'm a new creation in Christ. I can do all things through Christ now who strengthens me. Oh God, the potential that we have sitting in this room could blow the walls and the doors down because God's potential is unlimited. So you take a grain of salt, a grain of salt, a grain of salt, not much. But if you take 1,000 grains of salt, man, we're pretty salty. We can make a lot of people thirsty. Amen. Oh, we could have an effect upon people. We could even, that was a Pentecostal moment, you know. Oh, now listen, you know, you go to the workplace and, you know, guys, you go in there and or girls or whatever, and you go in there and then they're telling a dirty joke. And the moment you walk in, what happens? Why do they stop? Because salt prevents it. You understand? They don't like you. But they stopped, didn't they? Listen, you're salt. Have you reached your potential? Oh, I do not know how to teach it. I cannot express to you what's in my heart. I want to finish right. I want to discover everything I am in Christ Jesus. I want to completely disappear and let Him appear in me. I want to follow Him wherever He leads, whatever He says to do. I want to finish the race and finish my course where I can say I fought the good fight. And it is a good fight. Do you want to do that? Do you want to do that with me? Are we really going to move forward in the power of another and really discover our full potential, the possibility of becoming what you are? And look what he says again in verse 14. He says, oh, you're the salt of the earth. And what? The light of the world. meaning again, that's plural, all of you, all of us, you and you alone, that's what it really means. You and you alone, nobody else, only the church, only Christians. You are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hidden. You can imagine what, you know, just one, can one, you know, like at night, have you ever been afraid of the dark? You know, you probably still have that little Peter Pan nightlight in your room. You know what I mean? And you'd have that little nightlight on. Isn't it amazing what one little tiny, 5-watt bulb can do? Amen? It brings light. Well, can you, you know, listen to me. Can you imagine what all of us turning on the light can do? Can you, we can blind people from darkness. Think about that. We can blind them from sin. We can, all of a sudden they see Jesus because Jesus is the light of the world. Are you listening to me? We're transmitters of that light. The only light that anyone is going to see on this planet is going to be the church, is going to be you. That's the potential that you have. And what does light do? Light exposes, light reveals. I'm so thankful that we're no longer in darkness, but we're in the light. I'm so thankful that he's called us out of darkness that we might, what does it say, proclaim? I forget now, my mind is consumed right now. Out of darkness into his marvelous light. His marvelous light. Oh my goodness. Listen, there's only two kinds of people in the world, children of light, children of darkness. You are the only light to those who have no light. That's your potential. That's who you are. Are you living in that? Do you want to live in that? Are you ready to lay aside fears and secret sins or whatever and just say, I'm moving in this direction? You know, listen, 2013 is a timely year. Every day we should not waste, not waste it at all. He says, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill. And look what it says, cannot be hidden. Imagine trying to hide New York City. Even from outer space and those in NASA or all those other, whoever's up there, you know what I mean? My goodness, you could see all the lights. And I started thinking about this. I said, okay, Jesus, you say that we're a city, like a city. We're like a city that cannot be hidden. Cannot be hidden. Well, if we're the light of the world, I say this with very much tenderness. Do you think maybe the 21st century church's light is fading a little bit? I don't say that with a happy heart or a joyous heart, but I'm saying this, is that it has to be fading. And the reason it's fading is because I know that the Christianity is shrinking in our nation. Do you understand? There's not a lot of people being saved. There's a lot of people, what we call transfer growth. They move to this church or to this church, which that's just the way it's always been. But there's not a lot of people coming to Christ. And I'm saying, Lord, is our light fading? I believe it is. Are we in nearly blackout mode? Oh, I pray not. And I think about that and I say, oh, Lord, please, wake us up. Don't let us waste our potential by hiding our light. Do you remember the story of King Saul, the first king of Israel, there in 1 Samuel chapter 10? Do you remember how Saul, which was the tribe of Benjamin, oh, he was a handsome man. He was so tall, he was a head and shoulders above everyone else. And Israel, they wanted from Genesis all the way to 1 Samuel chapter 10. God had been their king. And they finally said, you know, Lord, yes, we want a man to rule over us. We want to be like the other nations. And what did they do? So Samuel went out and God said, go get Saul. I'm going to anoint him to be the commander in chief. In other words, the king of Israel. And it says that Samuel took a flask of oil there in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. And it says that he took it and poured it all over Saul. And it said that he anointed him. And then if you read the whole story, and I encourage you to do that when you get home, it says in verse 5, then after that, it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, and God turned Saul into another man. And then in verse 9, it says, and that God gave Saul another heart. In other words, changed his heart. Can you imagine that? Saul was anointed. Saul was set apart for God. He was endued with power. He was turned into another man. He was given another heart. And the people are outside. And they're ready to say to Saul, for him to come out and proclaim him king. And they're going to shout, "Long live the king." Read 1 Samuel 10 when you get home. And I look at the incredible potential that Saul had. Think about it. Again, what did Saul do with his potential now that he was anointed, now that he was set apart, now that he was endued with power, now that he was a new man, now that God has given him a new heart? What did he do? Let me tell you what he did in verse 22. It says, "Therefore they inquired of the Lord, 'Has the man come here yet?'" They're waiting on Saul. They're waiting on their new king. They want a king to rule over them. And the Lord said this. The Lord answered. He said, "There he is, hidden." Say that word with me. Hidden in the equipment. Hiding. He was hiding. Listen to me. He was set apart. He was endued with power. God was with him. Read 1 Samuel chapter 10. New man, new heart. Listen, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Is that what God has done for us? But except it's better. We're a new creation in Christ. The Holy Spirit really lives in our heart now. Jesus really lives in our heart. And I'm thinking, Lord, we have all of that going for us. Are we hiding? Are you hiding? Hiding from God? Are you hiding the potential that you have? And it's so terrible. They had to go get a man that was hiding and pull him out and say, "You know what? We're going to make you the king." And I looked at that and I said, oh, potential. The possibility of becoming what you are. Existing and ready for action, but not active. I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, we want to be active. We want to live in this potential that you've given us. Man, we are new creations. And dude, we've been changed. We are a new people. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." My question is, if we are the salt of the earth, and if we're the light of the world, and Jesus cannot lie, it says, Jesus said, you cannot be hidden. I'm going to ask you a question. Where are we? Where are we? It's a question I have to ask my heart as well. Where am I? Where are you at? We're Christians. We're believers. Where are we? He says, look what he says. He says, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand." Well, why do they put it on a lampstand, Lord? Well, because it gives light to all who are in the house. Now listen to me. What basket, if this pertains to you, what basket are you hiding in? Why make God go get us out of the equipment? In the King James, I like it better. It's called the stuff. He's hiding in the stuff. I don't want to be hiding in the stuff. I don't want God to say, "There he is. Go get the guy and drag him out here. He's the light of the world. He's the salt of the earth. He has all this potential. Christ in him, hope of glory, but he's just hiding. All this potential, but just hiding." Why are you hiding? Are you hiding? What basket? Basket of fear? Unbelief? Listen to me. How far can Christ take you? How far? Where does he want to take you? That's another question. Where does he really want to take you? Oh, you say, "Well, Bill, I'm employed over here. I'm doing this." Oh, that's good. But how far can he take you in that? How far can he really take you? What is your true potential in Christ? And I look at that and I say, I don't want to be hidden. I don't want to be hiding. No, listen to me now. A hidden light is still light. But it is useless light. Are you listening to me? We don't want to be there. And I look at this and I say, oh, Lord, please help us all, 2013, the decision time, to really step out. And, Lord, we want to discover our potential. We want you to come along beside us, and we want to do more than tie our shoelaces. You know what I mean? We want so much more. And some of you already, you might be saying, "You know, Bill, you just don't understand my life. You don't know what I'm going through." No, I don't. God does. Well, you know, listen, you try to raise three kids and two of them still in diapers. Well, I don't have the time. That's right. You don't have the time to waste. You don't have time to waste. Father, mother, listen to me. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this. Whatever you do. I have three kids in diapers. Whatever you do. I'm my fourth husband. My husband, he's the fourth child. I have him in diapers too. Whatever you do. Whatever it is. You're a believer. You're the salt. You're the light. Whatever you do, it says, do all to the glory of God. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do in word or deed, that means everything that you do in your life. It says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean, to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? That means to do everything in complete dependence upon His power, His grace, His word, His goodness, not yours. We're under grace. Grace is our empowerment. And I look at this and I say, oh, Lord, oh, we don't have time to waste. Listen to me. I love you, and I'm not trying to be mean to you, but I'm going to tell you something. And listen to this, your pastor for a moment. If you are not doing marriage God's way, you are wasting your marriage. If you are not raising your children God's way, you're wasting their potential. You should be discovering their giftings. You know, so many times we try to make our kids perfect. Just find out what they do well and then encourage them, okay? Every kid's different. Do you understand? Look for their giftings instead of their limitations. Win them to Jesus. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. You're going to waste your true potential if you do. But you don't understand, Bill, I have limitations. Well, who doesn't have limitations? I told that to the Lord the other day. You know what the Lord told me? Don't make any excuses to me again. I said, I'm talking about that other guy, Lord. No, listen. God says, stop making excuses. You have all the potential you need. I do, Lord. Yes. You have Jesus. He sustains the world. He's the creator of the world. Everything you need, you have. God says, stop looking at you. Aren't you sick of looking at you? Bill, stop looking at you. And start looking at me. Stop looking at your circumstances. It's not your ability anyway. It's God's ability in you. Listen to me. Moses, remember when Moses came to the Lord, the calling of Moses, Exodus 3 and 4, you know, Moses, oh, well, Lord, you know, you want me to go deliver Israel? I'm sorry, you know, can you tell the way I'm talking? I'm not a very good talker. I'm stuttering and everything. What did God say to Moses? He said, who made your mouth? If I'd have said it, I'd have said, shut up. Now listen to me. Who delivered the children of Israel from Egypt? Thank you. You're smarter than the first service. The first service said, Moses. I said, no. Yes. I said, second service won't talk to me like that. They're the smart ones. No. What I said, listen. I said, all Moses did was obey God. God had said, here's a staff, Moses. It's going to work for you. Don't worry about it. I'm going to do all these miracles. All Moses had to do was just go. All he had to do was be obedient. That's all we have to do. It's not our ability. Listen, God delivered the children of Israel by how? By the blood of the Lamb and the power of God. He did it. All Moses did was get to enjoy it. He used Moses to his full potential. And then Moses blew it. He blew it because what did he do? He hit that rock twice. All he had to do was speak to it. Oh, no, he got angry. And because of that, he wasted the end of his life, the potential there. God said, hey, let me take you up to Mount Nebo. You can't go into the land. Oh, Lord, please let me go in the land. Remember he prayed in Deuteronomy, begged him in Deuteronomy chapter 3. Read it. What did God say? Enough of it. Yeah. Took him up to Mount Nebo, Mount Pisgah, all that. Look out there, Moses, to the north, south, east, and west. Look at that land. I'll let you see it. Now you're going to die. I'm going to bury you. Don't waste your potential. I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, I don't want to waste it. I don't want to waste it at all. Let's not make any excuses. I don't have enough money, or I have too much money, or, you know, I'm so good looking, and or whatever. You know, it's like I heard this pastor the other day. He was going, and I know it's time to go. I've got plenty of time. I was wondering why the Lord was letting me slow down here. And he was saying from the pulpit about how he said, you know, beauty is a curse. You poor ladies that are so, some of you are so beautiful. You're just, beauty's a curse. And there was a couple of ladies that went into the bathroom and said, oh Lord, I want that curse and let it follow me and let it happen forever. Let's quit making excuses. I don't have enough education. God doesn't need your education. You're not limited with God. The Bible says in Psalm 78, remember, what did God say to the children of Israel? Why do you limit the Holy One of Israel? Draw a line in the sand and say, that's all you can do for me. No, the Bible says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. How? How? By my smarts? No, by the power that's working in me. The Holy Spirit. He wants you to reach your full potential. Listen to me. When are we going to learn that it's not important to be someone, but to contain someone? And his name is Jesus. So what does God tell us to do? We've got to hurry now. Look at verse 16. He says, let. Say that word with me. Let. You need to underline that word. That's a very important word. Let your light, the light, listen, that is in you. Christ is in you, that light. You're the transmitter of the light right now. You're Jesus to the world. You're the only Jesus the world's going to see until he comes. Let your light so shine, where? Before men. Why? That they may see your good works. Well, what's the purpose? To glorify your Father in heaven. Not you, but God. Loved one, listen to me now. Decision 2013. Potential. Becoming what we are. The possibility of becoming who we are in Christ. Fully, totally. Going over the edge. Going over the fiscal cliff. Amen. There is only one thing that can stop the salt of the earth and only one thing that can stop the light of the world from reaching its true potential, their true potential in Christ Jesus. It's not the devil. It's not prison. It's not demons. It's not weakness. It's you. It's me. It's me and you. See, if you, it's only, we're the reason that we're not reaching our full potential. Do you think God is going to say, whoo, this church here, they are praying too much. They're wearing me out. You know, just, we're going to have to do something to shut them up. You know what I mean? Is there a limit to prayer? No. Is there a limit to God? No, there's not. Listen, he has great and wonderful things for us to accomplish on this earth. Good works. Listen, how many homes can we build in Mexico this year for families that have nothing? Not running water, no sewer, no electrical, nothing. How many homes can we build? Is that a good work? Can you imagine giving a family hope like that? Where they're not freezing in the winter? Oh God. For $3,000 we can build a house? Hello? Think of all the things that we can do. Where is God going to send us? Where is God going to lead us? And I think, oh Lord, those good works. Oh gosh, I want to become, we want to become all that we're capable of becoming in Christ Jesus. Jesus told us in John 8:12, and I know it's time to go and I'm closing. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The light of life, life, this life and eternal life, the plans, the purposes of God. But you have to follow him. And I asked you a question earlier. I said, do we really want to follow Jesus in 2013? Do we really want to do that? And if so, how far are you willing? How far am I? How far are we willing to go? How far will we let Jesus take us this year? How far? Jesus said this. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, the word desires means, I want you, Jesus. I want all of you. I am in love with you. I want you. if anyone desires, Jesus said, to come after me, here it is. He said, here are the conditions. By my grace, by my power, through the word of God, he says, here are the conditions. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. But I want to go this way, Lord. No, he said, no, deny yourself. I've got a better plan than you do. I have so much waiting for you. Don't be like Saul. Don't miss your potential. Don't go hide yourself in all the stuff of the world. Don't do that. He said, deny yourself. Just do it. Deny yourself. And then he said, gave a command. He said, take up. That's the command. Take up his cross. Take it up. How much are we willing to take up? Are we going to be some watered down, easy believism, just anything goes, comfortable, make everybody happy, sissy church? Then we have to do something. That cross is heavy. But Jesus said, my yoke is easy. He's already died the death for us. Amen. He said, my yoke is easy. It's comfortable. You can put it on. My burden is light. Listen, he said, take up the cross. And then he said the greatest words that could ever be done. Obeyed. He said, follow me. You're going to follow someone and something in 2013. I promise you, you will. Jesus said, you come with me. You come with me. Let's not waste our lives. Every day is precious. Let's find and discover our true potential that we have in Christ. Amen. You say, well, Bill, how do we do that? Next Sunday, I'm going to tell you. Now listen, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord, those that are listening live right now, you don't know the Lord. You've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart. You see, this January 20th, all those New Year's resolutions, yeah, they're gone. Now, you know, listen, Jesus said this, without me, you can do nothing. Let me add to that. But with Jesus, you can do everything. Amen? Do you know the Lord? Do you know that he died for your sins? That he's ready for you to become the salt of the earth and the light of the world? That he's ready to use you, to send you? Who knows where he could send you? Who knows what God could do? Restore your marriage? Remove your sin? Listen, if you don't know Jesus, you've never asked him to come into your heart, would you pray this prayer with me right now and ask him to save you? Just bow your head and just pray this prayer. Just pray this prayer. Jesus will save you. God will save you right here. Church, help me right now. Say, Father, I am a sinner. And right now I come to you. And I confess with my mouth. And I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord. And you raised him from the dead. You promised in your word that if I would pray that, believe that, confess that, you would save me. Well, I believe. Make me the salt of the earth. I want to be the light to the world. I want to be a light to my family. Oh, Jesus, save me. Be my Lord forever and ever. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. This is only between you and God. You do not have to come down.